You ever get the feeling that everything in America is completely f***ed up?
They're saying I should think stuff. Something is wrong with me.
To be so cynical.
Practice.
All right. This is the political episode of the month here at Jittery Monkey. We do these every month. Due to some schedule changes, we've moved from the third week to the first week for this month. And actually, I have on the other line, on the other side of the country, Brandon Cooley, our political expert here at Positive Cynicism. Brandon, welcome to the show.
Glad to be back.
For the second time this week, because we actually recorded a few days ago and then found out that the audio was not usable due to a faulty cable and some static. So we are recording this all over again. But as I said off air, I already said everything that I had wanted to say, and I don't like repeating myself, even though I do quite a bit. So we're going to take this in maybe a little bit different direction. Previously, we had discussed the second Democratic debate and everything. I saw something right before we started recording, and I don't even know how to respond. And I'm trying to keep August as a month of positivity, but this so over the weekend, we were recording this August 6th. Over the weekend, of course, we had two more mass shootings here in America in El Paso and Dayton. I hope it was El Paso.
Yeah,
otherwise, I'm going to sound like Trump and Joe Biden and get the whole states and cities wrong. But we had two shootings. Flags have been lowered to half-mast. A few hours ago, there was a person on MSNBC who was a guest on one of the programs who made the claim that the flags were being raised back to full staff at dusk on Thursday, which is August 8th, because that's 8-8. That is the white supremacist holiday, because 8 is the eighth letter of the alphabet is H. 8-8 stands for Heil Hitler. Brandon,
that's a weird connection to make.
I've heard it before, but I'm just like, to me, this is pure Trump derangement syndrome, to where everything is being, no matter what he does, someone's going to tie it into white supremacy. Please tell me there is some logical thinking going on out there somewhere in the world right now.
Yeah, that's that story. Where did you say that was?
It was on MSNBC, and I'll pull up the guy's name.
That's almost as bad as like looking at a credit card number and seeing 3 6s and being afraid of it. I don't know. It's just weird. There's only so many days in the year. I mean, actually 420 is the stoner holiday, but actually it's Hitler's birthday. Sometimes this happened. I mean, I don't know what that person was trying to prove.
And Columbine did happen on 420 because of, I believe,
that may be. That may, the two of them, I think, were actually reading about that. Anyway, that's a different shooting, but
yeah. real quick, the person's name was Frank Figluzzi. I don't know. Apparently, he is a contributor to MSNBC. And so that happened.
with these two shootings, the El Paso one was white supremacy and right wing extremism. And then actually, the Dayton one we just found out is more left wing extremism. More so, his beef was with he didn't have a manifesto. He was kind of like rantings. Both had rantings online in some form, and that was basically, it was right-wing extremism, left-wing extremism, same weekend. So it can happen both ways. I mean, I would say that according to the stats, white supremacy, hate crimes have increased since 2016, 2017. But you've mentioned last episode or a couple episodes ago, Antifa, what do? They destroy property. Is that right?
Yeah, they've just been very violent. Yeah.
That's increased too. And I don't know much about Antifa, honestly. I don't hear as much about that. Because I think they're more unorganized. They kind of just show up wherever. I read about them a bit when you mentioned it for the episode. Yeah, with that connection, I mean, I don't know what to say about the August 8th thing. It's just weird.
No, it's just one of those things where you're like, and the fact that this is not, you know, this is not Alex Jones. This is not some person on the internet just spouting this. This is cable news network. And, you know, it's, I believe it was after when Trump tweeted about Baltimore initially being rat infested and drug infested and Elijah Cummings. CNN had Richard Spencer on, who is a known white nationalist. And to me, I think I mentioned it on the last episode too. It's as someone who leans more conservative than liberal, but, and who follows conservative persons on social media and have watched videos on YouTube, the only time I hear them talking about white nationalism or any type of KKK or anything like that is after some other story comes out, giving them attention, and then these people come out and say, no, you know, there's no place for this. I hear more about white nationalism from the media. And the cynic in me would say that the rise is not due so much to Trump. It's because the media has been pumping out more stories in the last 3 years than previously. So people are getting, like, if you would have asked people in 2015, does the KKK still exist? Most people probably would have said no, because they're not a known entity. But now when you hear almost monthly about the KKK, people are probably like, oh, they're still around. Let me, and there are, you know, idiots out there that will look into it and see if there's a local chapter and go toward. But you mentioned with the shootings that, you know, these two shootings, both coming from both sides of the political spectrum. So I get defensive when, before facts are even known, people start politicizing it, putting it on one side or the other. And I think we just need to realize that there are assholes out there that are going to do stupid stuff like this, and monstrous people who are going to do it. And instead of trying to score political points, we need to hold those people accountable.
Yeah, I agree. The leaders, it's impossible to trace a line between like a political leader who the shooter supported or, you know, and say that their words actually directly influence them. Mm-hmm. I think what's more the issue is that the leaders aren't denouncing what the extremists are doing. And so it's causing a problem. Like they need to actually call it the bad apples in their party. Mm-hmm. And so it is odd that, I mean, take, for example, Trump. I mean, he had very harsh words for David Duke, I think around 2000, 2001. I can't remember what year it was, before he was a Republican. And then now, I mean, now it's like his rallies. I mean, he said himself, he can't stop people from saying send her back. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, he could technically try to. I mean, John McCain did when one of his supporters said that Obama was a Muslim. I mean, so he could make more of an effort to denounce, you know, shoot the people, the extremists on their side, on his side. And the left should do it too if that happens. I mean, the only case besides this one would be the shooter who went after Scalise. I can't think of another left-wing shooter in recent last couple of years, but there may have been a few. But they should call Antifa if there's a scenario where Antifa does something wrong. But yeah, I mean, it's the leader's responsibility to call it the bad apples in their party. I think that's the...
Yeah, and, you know, we had the issue or the situation a few weeks ago where I believe as a member of Antifa tried to firebomb an ICE agency in Portland and was shot and killed. And a lot of his rhetoric was very similar to that of what the left and AOC has said. And again, it's, you know, people are responsible for their own actions. If they are driven to that action because of the words of somebody, you know, a person in power, and maybe I'm just being naive, but I to me that feels like these people are messed up to begin with, because you look at the number of people that have heard these words and how many of them are going out and acting on it. So, and that's been my stance pretty much any time. You know, I remember back in the 80s when kids were committing suicide and they started blaming heavy metal. After Columbine, you blame video games and Marilyn Manson and The Matrix. There are other issues. And I know, sadly, Trump came out and blamed video games again after these two shootings, which, yeah, you know, video games have gotten more realistic over the years, and there is a lot of violence in video games. And I will not blame video games, but I think that there is a little bit of that separation between reality and fantasy in these situations because the more realistic the games are. But again,
well,
go ahead.
The funny thing about video games, the violent video games, is that overall violent crime has been dropping since the early 90s, like 92, 93. And the first two violent video games came out in 93. So as video games have gotten more violent, crime really has been dropping overall. It's more of these mass shootings that people point to and say video games, like Columbine, you know, the recent ones. In terms of do they affect, I mean, it's more about the thing is a lot of these video games like Call of Duty, Grand Theft Auto, they sell so many copies that it's not so much did the killer play it, it's that so many people play it. The odds are a teenager or a college student's going to play that game because it's just so popular. So it's not really a correlation. I mean, if they really cause violence, I mean, these games selling billions of copies, there'd be more violence than what there is, you know, now. So, but I mean, even before video games, I mean, we had cults in the '70s, we had serial killers and, you know, we had obviously violence before. I mean, forever. I mean, it's been, people have always been violent. It's just the media changes it. Like, I think now the reason why the mass shootings have increased so much is I don't have a theory for why, but I mean, one theory I do have is that the internet, chat rooms, these blogs. There's one I heard about recently, 4chan or 8chan. It's like this message board that was once used for like just movies and TV and games and stuff turned into like these small, like almost tribal, like groups of where just hate basically, where it was like, you know, right wing, maybe left wing, but a lot of white supremacy, neo-Nazi kind of stuff on the internet. And you can't really control that because if you eliminate it, they're going to pop up somewhere else.
Yeah, I've heard of 4chan, and the new one, I guess, is 8chan. I guess it's twice as hateful.
I guess,
But I have no idea what type of content is on there. I only hear about it in negative connotation. And it's a lot of things where somebody will say something on 4chan. This is according to what I have read, because, again, no firsthand experience. But it's somebody will post something as a joke, but then it will get taken serious. And I believe, like, the okay hand symbol where the thumb and index finger make a circle, that was someone like said that was a white power sign, and now anytime someone does that, they're, you know, a guy.
I heard about that. That was kind of odd because that's been a hand gesture for like decades, maybe longer than that. Now it's a white supremacy symbol.
Allegedly, I don't think.
I think this
is something that somebody said as a joke, and then because everything, as we say here, is everything is racist, it became, and there's a guy who was recently banned from Wrigley Field for life, and I don't know if they ever returned it, because he was behind a reporter doing a television stand-up, and this guy behind him flashed the sign, and they're like, oh, that's racist, and it's just like, come on. It's also, I don't know if you ever played this game as a kid, but where you make the circle below your waist or like on your leg to see if someone would look at it. And if they looked, you punched them because, you know, nonviolent games.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah. I think another issue is, like we said, I don't think it's video games because, I mean, video games have always been violent. The violent rates of crime are dropping. And even gun statistics, shootings have gone down over the last decade. It's just now with the media, with the 24-hour media plus social media, it's anytime it happens, it gets out there. It makes it more of a factor, like because more people are seeing it or more people are spreading it around. And you.
Well, let me distinguish the mass shootings have gone up, but violent crime overall has gone down. The difference is that there's a number like distinguished between the two. Like violent crime just refers to criminals hurting people basically, or just people. I mean, just basic kind of like murders, this and, you know, this and that. The mass shootings is more of the random acts of violence toward large groups of people without any clear motive. Mm. Like, if there's a drug case where it's like the violence, I mean, obviously, because it was a drug deal gone wrong, but mass shootings, the reason why it's in the media so much is because there's no motive. We don't know exactly. So that's, mass shootings have gone up, but violent crimes have gone down.
Okay. And I think, again, for me, this is going to be a very cynical show from my perspective, I have a feeling. But for me, it's, you know, we hear after these shootings, again, there's the call for gun control and banning guns and whatnot. But at the same time, you look at the crime statistics from Baltimore, from Chicago, from Detroit, I believe, over the last weekend. And you saw, I believe it was like 14 people in Baltimore, another 20 in Chicago were shot, killed, 40 people shot. And this happens on a weekly basis. Dayton and El Paso was an anomaly for the most part. But we don't care about that gun violence unless it becomes an issue on the political campaign trail when someone is in Chicago or Baltimore, or, you know, someone, one party says something derogatory and then the other party will say, will jump in and try to say it's not that bad or say something should be done and blame the other party. But so that's where I am with gun control is the outrage over the mass shootings. It's terrible, but again, without knowing the motive, without knowing where the guns, how the shooter got the guns and anything like that, how do you stop something in the future that, you know, how do you
prevent it? There's no guarantee. Yeah. There's no plan to guarantee it. I mean, with me and gun control, I mean, like, I'm not into guns at all. I mean, for me personally, it's more of just the more deadly the gun, the harder it should be to get, you know, basically. So handguns for protection. So, you know, that should be easy to get. Self-defense, shotguns, hunting rifles. I mean, you do look at other countries like in Europe, you know, Canada, Japan, Australia, like they do have their crime rates very low and they do have fewer guns. I mean, they barely have any guns compared to us. So there is that to look at. However, I think America is just more violent than those countries. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not sure if that would matter if you know, 3/4 of the guns disappeared in America, I'm sure there'd still be violence. I don't like, maybe less. I don't know. I mean, banning guns, any kind of ban would have a backlash against it. People would buy more. I mean, they would buy more from countries that sold them. They'd find a way to get them, kind of like drugs. So I don't see a ban really working. Regulations, sure. I mean, the bump stock regulation ban, I've supported that, obviously. High capacity magazines. So you have to look at it case by case basis. Like, what do you support versus? I don't like people who just say we should ban guns or should all guns go free. Like, I mean, there's people can't have grenades, you know, obviously. There's certain things people can't have. So it's like, I don't like, you know, turning into a black and white issue. Yeah. So
I did find out over the last couple of days, though, that you can legally buy a tank.
So, is it antique or is it like a war?
No, I think it's just a tank if you have the money. Yeah. So again, okay. Bucket item list, but I have two thoughts and I'm trying to figure out which road I want to go down first. I think I'll take it back to our original topic that we discussed about doing was looking at us versus them mentality in politics. Cause you mentioned other countries aren't as violent or I would say maybe as angry as Americans. And I don't know that much about the political landscape of other countries. So I don't know if you'll be able to chime in on this. This is just kind of a theory or an idea that came to me. Do you know other countries, if the political systems are as, for lack of a better term, hateful towards each other or towards other parties in other countries? Or are other countries more centrally, they're ideally opposed, but they know how to work together?
It depends, not as much as America, but it depends on the country, because right now, I mean, Brexit and Britain's really causing a lot of friction between the two parties. So I think Britain would be second to us. I mean, other countries, I don't look at individual ones, and that's the only one I know about is Britain. Mm-hmm. I mean, I took an EU class in college, and that's just the European Union. And with European countries, they do look at it as like a, they look at Europe as a whole, not really their individual, like, mm-hmm. it's kind of like, you know, America, it's our state politics and federal, you know, for them, it's their country and then the EU. So I don't know. I mean, in terms of other countries like Japan, Australia, I don't know much about their politics per se. I mean, I can say Japan has, like, you know, content, entertainment that's much more violent than ours. Mm-hmm. So that's a good case of where violence and media doesn't affect it, but because their crime rate's pretty low. But yeah, I mean, we're definitely number one for the angriest country, I guess you could say, for sure. But
yeah, and I guess we have to figure out where.
There's also the other thing too is that we're also the most diverse. I say that not in terms of race and religion, but just the most diverse in its landscape, overall geography, and the amount of different types of people that live in the country. Aside from race and religion, just the amount of bubbles, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
People who, you know.
Colin Quinn, comedian, stand-up performer, had a special that CNN aired a few months ago called Red State, Blue State. Did you see this?
I saw the ads for it. I haven't watched it yet.
I highly recommend checking it out. It's on YouTube, I believe. But he made a good point. He talked about the size of our country, and he said, do you think people in Germany have less in common with people in Paris than people in New Jersey have with people in Utah?
Yeah.
And it's,
I've heard that on the ad. Yeah.
Okay.
It's an interesting question.
Yeah, and it's a good point because you look at, like you said, we said the vastness of the United States plus the different landscapes, the different, you know, a city like Los Angeles is very different than a city like Tupelo, Mississippi. You know, and even staying with California because I'm here, Bakersfield, California is different than Des Moines, Iowa. It's, even though they may have a similar geography and a similar, some similarities, they're just by proxy of location and I think, you know, history are very different places. So does that play into our differences as well?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, racial tensions still exist, but I think people, what they don't look at is the conflict between big cities and small towns. And the suburbs are kind of the middle of that. I'm in the suburbs, and honestly, I feel out of place in small towns and big cities. But there's definitely a conflict between big cities and small towns, and it's some of it's racial because, I mean, obviously, where you live depends, you know. But it is just people's way of life just conflicting, so to speak. I mean, you know, they say that there's no such thing as blue states or red states. There's red states and blue cities are big enough to overtake it. And that's kind of what you see. I mean, and just in Georgia, there's a lot of, in small towns, like the college I went to was a county north of me, there's a lot of animosity towards Atlanta, or even towards my county, which is bigger, much bigger than the one north of me. Like, our county is actually bigger than Wyoming. It's like 800,000 people. And the county north was very rural, and they didn't like people from Gwinnett County, where I live. I mean, just, it's very odd, like, almost tribal in a way. Like, it's, and I don't know what that comes from. It's just human nature, I guess, going back.
Yeah, probably home. Human. You're loyal to your surrounding, where you grew up, or, you know, and you probably have not seen the show Letterkenny. It's a Canadian show. They're the main characters are like Canadian rednecks, and they always talk about the D-gens from up north. And same thing, it's just these people that come in that are very different from where you are. And it's an interesting aspect because even though I read something before the 2016 election, it was written by a guy, I can't remember his name. He was originally from Illinois, I can't remember where he was living. But he talked about how the people in his small town, like, they weren't racist to the people they knew in the town, but anybody that was of a different race that was from the city or from somewhere else, they're racist because they don't know them. And I see that even when I go back to my hometown, you see that same type of mentality because I call it racism by ignorance. And it's not that these people are racist in nature, it's just, it's all they know. They're anything that goes outside that comfort zone scares them or they just don't understand.
Oh yeah, of course. I mean, it's like the Archie Bunker thing. I mean, that's they're racist, but yet they have friends who are of that race they're racist against, but they're their friends. So they don't see it as being, you know, but they'll make judgments about people who they don't know and just vast generalizations. Yeah. I mean, I mean, it's our nature to make generalizations about a lot of people, but we stop ourselves before we do that. We're like, okay, well, let's, you know, not make a generalization. Let's, you know, but some people don't know how to do that. They don't process. They just, you know, I don't know.
Yeah,
that definitely happens a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. I greatly dislike stereotypes, and not just the stereotypes of like how you can label someone, but when I see somebody out that I can easily pigeonhole based on appearance alone.
Yep.
Because I'm like, why would you want to be a stereotype? And why do you, and one, I guess because I don't, other than generic white boy, I don't fit into any stereotype. I'm not a hipster. I'm not an emo. I'm not, you know, anything. I wouldn't even know how to fit in if as a stereotype. So it just boggles my mind when I see people that you can clearly, you know, name five things that they probably are into or like just based on appearance. And but I think we do that as, like you said, it's human nature because you know, they always say you want to make your great first impression, and your first impression is before anybody actually gets to know you, whatever they see, what they can immediately hone in on and tell. And that's bad on our part to make those judgments ahead of time. And I think a lot of people do get hung up on just the basic level of someone.
Yeah. I mean, I make stereotypes just as much as the next person, but it's never really malicious. I mean, I catch myself doing it but I mean, the thing is, like, I mean, when growing up, I first grew up in a small town, of course, you know, Illinois, of course, that's where we're both from. But then we moved to Oklahoma, where I grew up in another small town, but that was actually more diverse. It was not, I don't know the exact numbers, but a quarter African-American, quarter, actually Native American, because it was Oklahoma, quarter Hispanic, you know, I don't know the exact numbers of it, but I was used to going to school with kids of all kinds of, you know, race, religion. I mean, so, and then I moved to Georgia, which is more suburban. But so I don't really, like, act differently around different types of people. I just, myself, I mean, maybe some people do that. They don't know how to act with people who are different than they are, depending if it's race or religion or just city, small town. I don't know. I don't have a problem with that, but that's just me.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to solve anything. We're not going to hit on any, I doubt, insightful, original idea here. It's just people.
Yeah.
There are, on both sides, in all cultures and races, there are jerks and there are nice people, and you hope that there are more nice people out there than jerks. That's basically it. That's why we say here at
Boston Citizen. And that's something else too. I mean, when we're out in public with each other, I mean, people talk and they're polite to each other just because that's what you're supposed to do. On the internet, you're more likely to get into an argument because there's just not someone in front of you, you know. You're more likely to offend. So you're more likely to be okay with offending someone online because it's just online.
If you don't have a actual consequence, you know, if you say something to someone in public, there's a chance they may, you know, throw a punch at you. But if you say it online, I got banned or I got, you know, muted on Twitter. Big deal. No big deal.
Yeah.
But
with the news anchors on Fox News, MSNBC, and CNN, the op-ed news anchors, like from 7 p.m. and later. I mean, if they were sitting in front of us at a table and they were talking the way they were, we'd find them very obnoxious. Mm-hmm. On TV, they're less obnoxious if we agree with them. So it's like people are being influenced by these cable news anchors and news articles that are biased. Even though if they had someone in front of them talking like that, they would not listen to what they're saying and be like a crazy person, like ranting. You know, like it's a weird. Yeah, the media has an effect on that too, for sure. Man.
Yeah, and speaking of the media, we're gonna segue into. There's no good transition here. I'm just going off because my other thought was a few minutes ago when we were talking gun bans is Kamala Harris came out and said that her first act as president would be to outlaw guns and she would not have a problem sending police force door to door to confiscate guns if people were on a list. That sounds very tyrannical and,
you should say assault weapons or all guns. I haven't heard all guns before. Eric Swall was the guy who was really anti-gun.
Yeah, he was going to nuke everybody, but if he had a gun. I probably will say assault weapons just for sake of argument because that is the... Although, I don't really know what an assault weapon is because...
That's a thing. No one really knows. It's a term... Yeah,
I'm sure if I pick up a chair and start beating you with it, that's assault weapons. So... Again, Kamala Harris made this statement, which, whether it be all guns or assault weapons, the fact that she has said, I am willing to send out a police force to confiscate, not all guns. Again, she did, I guess, in a sense, tried to make this not as bad. It did say that people would have to be on a certain list if they did not give up their guns. But again, this goes back to previous discussions about the debates and how, in my view, the Democrats are just going down a path of shooting themselves in the foot and not saying anything that will get them elected, instead of pandering to say things that should get them elected.
Yeah, the confiscation thing is crazy. Yeah, I mean, the only program I would support is a buyback program where if someone turned their gun in, they could get paid for it and just say, I don't want this anymore. But that's their choice to do that. Because some people may, I mean, but a lot of people wouldn't. I mean, I wouldn't be for any kind of confiscation or any kind of like list of people that, you know, this is not going to work, and it would just be a backlash against it. And I mean, the assault weapons, the term assault weapons is a generalization about, you know, okay, I can't remember the types of guns, but I mean, it depends on, it's like they're describing rifles in this very generalized term, when really there's like hunting rifles, there's like rifles that have higher capacity magazines, and there's just, it's a word used to just, you know, simplify the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, with gun control, I mean, there really is no right answer on gun control or gun safety, as they call it now. I mean, you can't really stop people from committing violence. They're going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, because if we just made murder illegal, that would solve the whole problem.
Yeah, there you go. Well, it's like the drug thing. I'm not a gun person at all. And gun nuts annoy me. They no end. But the thing is, it's like drugs. I mean, if you just make it illegal, they're still going to get drugs. Mm-hmm. It's just going to be harder. But there'll be a financial motive to get it. Yeah. It's kind of like prohibition. Like, there was still alcohol. It's just the mafia kind of rose because of that, because there was a financial motive to actually sell alcohol, you know. And so if you started banning guns, they'd be worth more money to criminals who would sell them. And it would still, you know, you'd still have these gun nuts buying guns from criminals from whatever country, and it wouldn't really matter.
Yeah, and you would think that, like you mentioned prohibition, to where we have tried banning stuff in the past, and look at how well that went over. So you would think politicians would learn from history, because they're writing laws, they should know, one, the laws that are already on the books and what ones have been there before. But again, it all comes down to good sound bites on the news and just playing to a base. And speaking of playing to bases, back to the debates, real quick, the gun control debate, I had told you previously, I didn't really want to get into the gun debate because we're not going to settle anything here. It's pointless. But the debates, let's go back real quick. What were your overall initial thoughts on the debates that happened?
Initial thoughts. I'll talk about the top five or top six, because I mean, a lot of them, there's not really worth talking about. They're going to drop out soon. But Biden, I think, is really weak performance, not worse than last time, but not any better, really, just more of the same. I think he's showing his age. I don't think that we'll have to see. I don't know if he may stay in the polls, because he's the only moderate Democrat. So we'll have to see about that. But Elizabeth Warren, I think, is coming out as the clear alternative to Bernie Sanders, you know, as kind of the more farther left candidate, or more representing that faction of the Democratic Party. And my pick would be Pete Buttigieg, because, I mean, I think he has his foot in both camps. He's more moderate Democrat on some issues, more farther left on other issues. I like the way he communicates the issues and the ideas of his campaign. With other people really thought Cory Booker did a good job. I'm not a fan of Cory Booker at all, so maybe that's just me. I didn't think he did any better than in the past. Kamala Harris just kind of burnt out. There wasn't really much she did that was, they called her kind of the loser of the debate. I don't know if she was the loser, but there wasn't like anything she said that was really.
Unfortunately, we had more technical difficulties with audio at this point in the show, and we did not realize it until after we were finished recording. So I could either give you 30 minutes of static infested audio, or I can just say, thank you for listening. You can find me on Twitter @ChadSmart. as we say, every episode here on Positive Cynicism, question everything, do something positive. We'll be back next week, hopefully with the audio fixed.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.